All right, welcome in. 49ers update time. I talked about the midterm grades yesterday. Well, those are now up on the San Francisco Standard. We're starting with defense. Midterm marks with a question. Is this one of the best secondaries in football? This might surprise some, but I think that with some of the youth talent infusion that we've seen over the past few weeks, it is something that is plausible. The 49ers secondary ranks number two in pass defense in all football. That's defense adjusted value over average, DVOA, formerly from Football Outsiders. Aaron Schatz developed it. Now he works for FTN, but he's got the 49ers as the number two pass defense in all of football. Now, run defense wise, they still aren't where they need to be. They rank number 19 in DVOA. However, I think that the fruits of the 49ers' labor to build a secondary that can lead this defense, if it needs to lead this defense, I think that some of those fruits are starting to pay off. So this is up on the San Francisco Standard. We can look at the 49ers' coverage metrics. It's not just the secondary. It's the linebackers and the cornerbacks, the safeties, and then also the linebackers on top of that comprise the 49ers' coverage score. Darker colors are better in that rating column on the right. Lighter colors mean worse performance. I divided this up into cornerbacks at the top, linebackers in the middle, and safeties at the very bottom. But what we've seen for the 49ers is an evolution defensively. One, at the cornerback position, Diamante Lenore is having an all-pro caliber season. And Fred Warner talked about this the other day on his podcast. He said, you know, older, more established stars need to do their duty and prop up their younger teammates who are worthy of Pro Bowl, All-Pro consideration, those types of awards. And Warner went to bat for Diamante Lenore, who's putting up a hell of a season. Now, I find it really, really interesting because I remember in 2019 when Fred Warner was a youngster, second year in the league, it was Richard Sherman who was propping up Fred Warner. Richard Sherman helped Fred Warner become a household name by lobbying for him. You see the culture, the good culture passed down, leadership passes down, and now Fred Warner is doing what Richard Sherman once did for the 49ers. Anyway, we take a look at what this secondary has done. Diamante Lenore has allowed a rating of only 63.4 into his coverage. 63.4. That's really, really damn effective. Charvarius Ward has played two straight really good games for the 49ers. I get it. He got off the slow start to the season, and now he's obviously dealing with that tragedy inside his family with his one-year-old daughter passing away on Monday morning. But when we talk about how Charvarius Ward has performed on the football field, the past two games, I think, have underlined his value to this team. And so does this stat right here, yards allowed per cover snap. Ward is still allowing less than Diamante Lenore, no matter how well Lenore is playing. You want to keep this under 1.2 yards per cover snap. Lenore is doing that. Ward is keeping it under one, which is excellent. And part of that is because I don't think that his actual coverage at the point of the throw has been as good as Diamante Lenore's this season. But part of it is opponents just don't want to throw in Charvarius Ward's direction. We saw it in week one. Aaron Rodgers threw only to the side opposite of Charvarius Ward. Since then, we've seen them pick on Mooney a little bit more often. But still, the stats here don't lie. The production against him on a per-snap basis has not been great. So while Diamante Lenore has been great at the catch point, we've seen the interception millions of times now against the Cowboys. That was just an awesome, awesome play from Demo. And whereas Charvarius Ward has struggled a little bit more, Charvarius is an all-pro last season. He still has a reputation that misbalances opposing offenses. And I would say that Ward and Lenore, this is as good of a 1-2 punch at corner as there is in the entire National Football League. I mean, these guys, cornerback one, cornerback two, whichever way you want to order it, between Ward and Lenore, have been impressive as hell for the 49ers. So then it becomes a matter of who's going to be corner number three. Because the way that the 49ers run this, it becomes very, very important. This season, we have seen D'Amador Lenore take about twice as many snaps in the slot as he's taken outside. Whenever the 49ers run into a nickel package, D'Amador Lenore is the cornerback that moves inside. 298 snaps at nickel corner, 116 snaps at outside cornerback, which means that you need a third cornerback on the field in those scenarios. That third corner started as Isaac Yiadom, but as you can see, Isaac Yiadom, he had given up 101.4 rating into his coverage, wasn't turning the ball over, and the yards per cover snap, I mean, it was solid, but it wasn't great. Look what the rookie Renardo Green has done ever since assuming the majority of the playing time over Isaac Yiadom two games ago. 0.83 yards per cover snap for Renardo Green. That's the least out of the 49ers corners, and a rating of 83 into his coverage. Obviously buoyed by that interception against Seattle. So when we talk about upward mobility of the 49ers defense, and I put this screenshot up yesterday, this was a look at where the 49ers are efficiency-wise as a football team. You want to be further to the right and further up. The defense is measured by how high up your logo is here. The 49ers want to incrementally continue to improve, and the defense is ranked in the top seven of DVOA so far, but and number two against the pass. If you want to continue to improve, those youngsters, the guys that just took over spots, and that's Renardo Green at the cornerback position and Malik Mustafa at safety, they're going to have to continue to improve and leave a mark. And based on what we've seen here from the coverage divisions for the 49ers this year, Renardo Green is making his mark. Down here at safety, look at this. Malik Mustafa is making his mark. Jair Brown is playing much better, and John Lynch was able to acknowledge that when he spoke to KNBR the other day. I think the 49ers started this season with a concerning level of performance at safety. Jair Brown wasn't playing his best football, and George Odom is a special teams ace. He was thrust into action because Talanoa Hufanga wasn't ready to come off of injured reserve yet, and somebody like Malik Mustafa wasn't ready to start yet. You see, the numbers for George Odom are not pretty in coverage, but the numbers for Malik Mustafa are downright excellent. He's allowing 0.12 yards per cover snap, and he's also an intimidating tackler for the 49ers. He's going to hold on to that starting job as long as he stays healthy this season. I think it's become clear that that's how good Malik Mustafa is. And Jair Brown's play has raised as well. Interception this past game against Dak Prescott on the deep ball that Nick Bosa affected with his pass rush, and a rating of only 76.3 allowed into his coverage. So safety, much better. Lenore, excellent. Ward playing much better. Renardo Green has given the 49ers an upgrade over Isaac Yiadom. And for all those reasons, this 49ers pass defense is now, again, number two in defense adjusted value over average, number two in the entire NFL. Where can they improve? Well, we talk about the linebacker position. Warner's great. Warner's leading all NFL defenders in pass coverage grade, but it's about the other spots that can be hurt in coverage, and Devondre Campbell hasn't been very good. This is where you look at the potential return for Dre Greenlaw. We've been talking about it a lot. Dre can return for the 49ers at just even a reasonable level of a fraction of his effectiveness before. He could potentially give San Francisco better pass coverage than what they're seeing outside of Warner. Because although you see decent numbers here from somebody like the rating number from Demetrius Flanagan and Foles, he's given up way too many yards per cover snap. And that might be a typo that I have to fix. I don't think it's that high I think it might be 1.2, but still he's only has 39 snaps in coverage, Demetrius Flanagan Foles. And D Winters, well, this is somebody who only has 44 snaps in coverage coming off the concussion protocol now for the 49ers. Obviously not somebody who they've trusted enough to insert into big time action. Campbell and Warner are the two players of over 50 cover snaps. They're both at over 260. So the 49ers could badly use Dre Greenlaw. Now the question is, how close to 100% is he going to be when he returns into the fold for the 49ers? Now, I talk about all of that in this article up on the San Francisco Standard. And that's all great. Those are all pass defense metrics for the 49ers, but we haven't yet talked about the run defense metrics. And that's where this team still needs to take a step up. And that's where we could start talking about the trade deadline, what they might do in that regard. We could put up the quick look at the pass rush, because this is going to be tied in with what the 49ers are doing in every aspect of their defense. But you have to stop the run to have some fun, right? The pass rush, this is a look at the coverage. We got to get the pass rushes right here. The pass rush has a lot of good things going on. They've got a lot of, you want the darker colors here. This is a percentile grade of pass rushing productivity. So at edge rusher, which is in the top half of this table, you've got Bosa, you've got Floyd, you've got Sam Okwuonu, all as above average performers. Gross Matos has been dealing with a knee injury. He's expected back middle of next month. He could raise his score when he comes back. And then at defensive tackle, surprisingly maybe to some, because the 49ers, they have dealt with some issues, including some injury issues, the loss of Javon Hargrave. They've got a lot of good performers in the pass rush percentile-wise, including Hargrave, who they're missing right now. I know Jordan Elliott's not scoring well, but he's a good run stopper. But that's really where the 49ers need to get a bit better, is in that run-stopping facet at defensive tackle. Again, they rank number 19 at EVOA against the run. Jordan Elliott's more of a run stopper. That's why he's only second percentile in pass rushing score. But what are the 49ers going to do about the key to unlock the ability to rush the passer? What are the 49ers going to do to make the run defense a little bit better? I think it's gotten a little bit better actually since Hargrave got hurt, because it's forced them to play guys like Elliott more. But I think the pass rush has lost a little bit of steam because of that. So the massive question before November 5th here is, who do the 49ers pursue? Do they finalize a deal for somebody that can play on the interior of the line? That's why we've been talking about Davon Godcho, the big 330-pound defensive tackle for the New England Patriots. That's why some people have even talked about Dalvin Tomlinson. I think that at both groups, defensive end and defensive tackle, the 49ers can definitely use more depth. I don't think they need a top-end edge rusher. I don't think they need a top-end defensive tackle. I think they needed somebody who could stuff the run, that could set the edge at both of these positions, tackle and defensive end respectively. And if the more darker colors they can get in this right side, pass rushing wise, the better. I don't think there's been a glaring problem with the 49ers pass rush, but I do think that the run defense has been subpar, and that has hurt the 49ers pass rush, which can always be better. You can always add more to the lower margins on the roster. Anyway, that's all up there on the piece up on the San Francisco Standard. I went through the DVOA rankings of the offense and defense and the balance the 49ers have to attain. Went through the pass coverage metrics and the pass rush metrics. And of course, I wrote a lot. I could show the whole article to you right now. We went through everything right there. So go ahead and check that out. The link to the San Francisco Standard in this piece is in the description. I'm going to go ahead and answer a few questions on what is now Thursday evening where I'm at. I know afternoon, most of you on the West Coast. We have people talking about potential trades. Aziz Ojulari seems to be a very common name that people talk about. And Ojulari can give the 49ers more of a pass rush boost, but at 240 pounds, I think people need to realize that a big end might be something the 49ers need more at this time. They're getting after the quarterback fine. They're covering fine. They're evolving in that phase of the game. Remember, at this point of the 2021 season, the 49ers ranked number 23 in defensive EPA. Number 23. That was this point, 2021, new defensive coordinator. That was DeMeco Ryans. And then from the midway point on, they ranked number 6. They went from number 23 over the first half of the season to number 20 to number 6 later. This defense is ranked number 12 in EPA, number 6 in DVOA, which is defense or offense adjusted. So they're not as bad as they were in 2023 in the first half of the season. under DeMeco Ryans before he figured out the ropes. But they're still not at the levels that we've seen from them in recent years, especially 2022. But the fascinating thing this season is that the pass defense is so good and has scored so well and has become better as the season has gone along. I opened the article up on the screen saying, yes, it was concerning they gave up those two touchdowns against Dallas. But we can also contextualize those. We can also recognize that two defenders collided with each other on one of those plays, Jair Brown and Renardo Green, and we can say that's probably not going to happen again. I think the bigger, longer-standing issue that I've been talking about for months, maybe over a year now at this point, is the 49ers' struggles against the run. The most likely target for John Lynch, Za'Darius Smith. That's what Invader 49er thinks. I mean, good 32-year-old edge rusher. You would certainly be able to bolster the top half of this equation. Where Sam Okwuonu has been revelatory for the 49ers. It's been awesome that they've been able to get the type of production that they have over 96 pass rushing snaps for him. But that's really tenuous depth behind Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd. You always want to add more to that. Steve asks if Green is going to be back after the bye. I think so. Low ankle sprain, day to day. A lot of people are talking about DJ Jones and trading with Denver for players, and this is correct. Denver is 5-3. They're in the thick of things at the moment. In that light, they may not be a seller. Brian asks if I can show the rankings for the O-line. Keep seeing comments about the right side. But in his opinion, Pooney and McKivitz have been playing well together. You are correct. I put some of those rankings on Twitter the other day. I'm going to have a big piece tomorrow coming out on the San Francisco Standard that looks like this one, except it's going to be for the offense where I'll have the rankings. McKivitz is much better than last year across the board. And I think that second year experience as a starter is a big part of that. But I also think that Dominic Pooney has helped be a tide that rises, the rising tide that lifts all boats, including Colton McKivitz from that right guard position. Any free agents that I think are interesting? No, that we're not in free agency right now. Guys are either signed, or if they're just sitting out there on the street right now without a team, it's hard to say that they're very good players. That's why we're in trade season right now. We're not in free agency season. You want Cortland Sutton from Denver? I don't know if that's going to happen. Plus, you know, everybody talking about the Broncos, this is a winning team. Bo Nix is playing a lot better football. Somebody like DJ Jones is a key part of their defense. Everybody is still operating under the assumption that Denver is going to want to continue to sell, but that's just not the reality of the situation. Colton McKivitz ranked as the sixth best tackle last week. I didn't see that on PFF, but he is playing much better football. He's run blocking a lot better than he did last season. Where's Brendel standing at center? I thought I just reviewed the defense, guys, but I guess I'll ask offensive questions. He's about middle of the pack. Brendel's been playing better as well. John Feliciano going to be a sixth man for the 49ers. I don't think he's going to usurp any healthy linemen's starting spot. Now, big key for the defense, they're going to have to be better on third down for the 49ers. They've given up 44% of conversions on third down. It's not good enough. That's ranks like number 24 in the NFL. So they have to get better on third down, but I think they have the tools to continue to improve because the safety position's gotten a lot better. Defensive line, we'll see if they add a body or two at that position before the deadline. They have in years past. As I illustrated, it would make sense this year. And then linebacker, that's where the big return of Dre Greenlaw might be coming, and that can really help the 49ers defense as well. Thanks for all your good questions. Check out the article. It is up on the San Francisco Standard. I've superimposed it here on the screen. Click on that link. Sign up. Do everything that you need to. We'll talk to you in a little bit. This is Thursday Night Football night. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets trying to save their season against the Houston Texans. So we'll get to see D'Amico Ryans, who I was just talking about. He's coaching tonight against Rodgers and company. Could be fun. CJ Stroud against Rodgers. Good game on Thursday night. Leave your questions. Leave your comments. I'll answer them later. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Thursday Night Football is in the books. And one thing that a lot of people were wondering about entering this game, they looked at the point spreads and they saw that the Jets at 2-6 entering this one were favored against the Houston Texans. And obviously the Texans' record was almost inversed. They were a winning team. And people were like, why? Just why are the Jets favored? Well, I think you saw why. They've got some potential. They've got Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. I don't care if he's 40. They have Devontae Adams at the receiver position. They run their defense a lot like the 49ers did under Robert Saleh, even though Saleh has now been fired. They've got players on the Jets. They shouldn't have been 2-6 entering this game, and they just beat the Houston Texans, and everybody's going to wonder what kind of run can the Jets go on. On Amazon, during the broadcast, they kept on showing the schedule coming up for the Jets. They play NFC West opponents. I know the 49ers have already beaten them, but when we ask just how good can the Jets be, how much of a thorn can they throw into the side of the NFC West teams that they play from here on out, we can always look at the team tier chart. And I want to get that team tier chart open for everybody. Add it ready in this window. And this is prior to this game. I don't think that this game is going to move the needle in too many directions. Maybe good defensively for the Jets, but offense is on the x-axis. So the further to the right you are, the better your offense is. Defense is on the y-axis. So the further up you are, the better your defense is. The Jets are smack dab in the middle. This is the origin of the graph. Right there, average offense, maybe slightly above average defense. And, you know, the reason they are favored against the Texans is despite the fact that Houston had a much better record, the Jets and the Texans were in the same tier of team. I have to say this, CJ Stroud is not playing all that well right now. I mean, it's been three rough games for CJ Stroud. Offensively, the Texans are below average. They're to the left of this average line. Now, we also can have a look at the quarterbacks so far this season. And Stroud finds himself right in the middle of the chart. I mean, not as bad as some of these guys. Anthony Richardson, this is crazy, all the way over here. But accuracy is on the x-axis. Efficiency is on the y-axis. So you want to be further up and to the right. So the guys up in the upper right, they're having good years. Jaden Daniels having an amazing year. Josh Allen, a really good year. Brock Purdy, with a bigger sample size, a bigger dot than a lot of these quarterbacks, he's in the upper right. But CJ Stroud, right there in the middle. Aaron Rodgers is having a subpar year, a below average year. But his Jets are able to get it done today. They were favored because they were at home against a Texans team that was about the same caliber as them. So the Jets, like a lot of teams, like the 49ers, now face the challenge of where does it go from here? Can Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, who made that amazing catch today, Breece Hall, Brock Purdy's former running back at Brock Purdy's former running back at Iowa State, can those guys put it together enough to move the Jets offense? Maybe, you know, not all the way to where the 49ers and the Eagles are, but maybe three quarters of the way there. Can the defense benefit from that, go up a little bit higher? If you do that, if you move out to the right, up a little bit, all of a sudden the Jets are in the same tier as the 49ers, the Steelers, the Vikings, the Chiefs. The Chiefs are in here. I believe it's the Green Bay Packers whose logo is behind Kansas City's. So these seasons are long marathons. It is far from over in San Francisco, that's for sure. We already knew that, the 49ers at 4-4. But can the Jets go on the type of run that we've seen the 49ers make in recent years? They were 3-5 in 2021. San Francisco was finished in the NFC Championship game. The Jets in a worse position at 2-6. But we could look at their schedule moving forward. This applies to the 49ers just who the Jets have to play moving into the next month or two. So right now, the Jets beat the Texans. They're coming off five straight losses. I mean, they lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Minnesota Vikings. That was the game in London that got Robert Saleh fired. Then they lost the Bills. That was the game that led to the Davante Adams trade the next day. Then they lost at Pittsburgh to Russell Wilson, and then they lost at the Patriots. That was really tough as well. But finally, they get a win against the Houston Texans team. It's a winning team. They now play the NFC West Cardinals in the desert, so the 49ers fans will be watching that closely because Arizona's number one in the NFC West. They then play the Colts. That's at home on that terrible field, by the way. MetLife Stadium, what a disaster. Bye week, and then it's the Seattle Seahawks. So a couple of these NFC West matchups coming up within the course of the next month or so. And then on December 22nd, they play the Rams. The Rams and the Seahawks both have to go to that terrible field in New Jersey. The Cardinals get to host the Jets. But this New York team can make a big impact on the 49ers race in the NFC West because they play all three of the 49ers division rivals moving forward. And, you know, watching that game tonight, I mean, it was hard to watch. So the Jets fans had paper bags over their heads for much of the game. Then finally, New York was able to legitimately find the end zone. They didn't have Malachi Corley, right? Dropped the ball before he crossed the plane. But they finally legitimately found the end zone with Garrett Wilson a couple times. And then they found it with Davante Adams to seal the game. It just reminds you when you see those kind of plays from Garrett Wilson and from Davante Adams, it reminds you that that team has a lot of firepower. Breece Hall is a really good running back. And yeah, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is old and he's regressed. He still has weapons to work with. And the Jets still have a defense to work with. And they sacked C.J. Stroud like seven times today. These guys can make some noise, especially against NFC West teams they play later this year. Former 49ers on the Jets, we're always reminded of that. No longer Robert Saleh. He's been fired, but Solomon Thomas had a sack today. Javon Kinlaw was doing some good stuff in the backfield. He's wearing the 54 now. And then Isaiah Oliver, I wouldn't say he almost blew the game, but he had a penalty on a fourth down that extended the game for the Houston Texans. Anyway, let's go back to the team tier chart and talk about, you know, how exactly do we evaluate the 49ers at this point? Because I was able to write a big piece on the San Francisco Standard today evaluating the defense. I know we have a lot of talk right now about where exactly the Jets fall on the spectrum, where they can go if they improve. The 49ers are a full tier above the Jets. They beat the Jets in week one. They're grouped in there with the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Packers, the Steelers, and the Minnesota Vikings. They've obviously lost to the Chiefs and the Minnesota Vikings already this year. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next, and this is really interesting because Tampa Bay is about at the same level as the 49ers offensively on this graph. Remember, further to the right means better offense. But Tampa Bay has a worse defense, and now Tampa Bay is playing without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So I can assume that the 49ers will be healthy favorites coming out of their bye week in Tampa Bay. The 49ers have the biggest net rest differential of any team in the NFL because they're playing so many teams who are coming off their bye week. But the one week where the 49ers have things moving in their favor is this coming one after the bye against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay plays Monday Night Football against Kansas City in a few days. Then Tampa Bay is going to have to turn around and play the 49ers on short rest. So Bucks on short rest, 49ers on long rest. It will be the only such advantage of the season for San Francisco coming in this game. Even when the 49ers played on Thursday night against Seattle, so that meant that they had a long week, a weekend, the rest after, they had to play a fully rested team in Kansas City because the Chiefs didn't play that weekend. They had a bye. So typically, you'll see Thursday night games. Teams have short rest leading up into it, but so does their opponent. Then, though, that Thursday night team has the weekend to rest before it plays the following Sunday. The 49ers had that, but their opponent, the Kansas City Chiefs, had the advantage because they had a full week off. They didn't have to play on Thursday or that weekend. So the 49ers, we'll see how they are able to respond to the extra rest. They already looked a whole lot better in their most recent game against the Dallas Cowboys. That being said, look at the teams the 49ers have beaten this year. It's not the most impressive list of teams. The Cowboys haven't been good. They're way down here. They're several tiers below a lot of these teams. The 49ers have beaten the Patriots, who are even worse than the Dallas Cowboys. And the 49ers have beaten the Jets, who are that's the best win. Them and the Seahawks are the two best wins that the 49ers have had. But those are both middle-tier teams right near the origin of this graph who are efficiency-wise worse than the 49ers. The rest of the NFC West, well, the Rams are down here, but the Rams also are just now healing up. There's a chance that the Rams are much better down the stretch than this graph would indicate. I would argue that the Arizona Cardinals, they may have peaked at this point. They're 4-4. They're at the top of the division, but that defense isn't good. They got a few breaks against the 49ers, that's for sure. We'll see how far Kyler Murray can take them. But that offense, even though it's above average, definitely weighed down by the other side of the ball. When we look at what the 49ers have to do moving forward this year, if they want to win a Super Bowl, you've got to bring this closer to what the Lions are doing and what the Bills are doing. The good news for the 49ers is that there may be natural regression from the Lions. They don't have Aiden Hutchinson anymore. And from the Bills, who are playing some otherworldly football. But that being said, the Commanders are playing better and better defense as this season progresses. So even if Jaden Daniels cools off a little bit, that's another NFC team that the 49ers may have to deal with that's in a tier above them. The 49ers need to raise their game at least a tier, right? One tier. So you do that with a little bit better offense, a little bit better defense. You get in here with the Lions and the Commanders, and you've got a legitimate shot in the postseason. I personally don't care if the 49ers have a home field advantage or not. I think that they've got a good chance to beat a team like the Lions. Washington's a different story because that's going to be a weather game, possibly, if they have to go to Washington in January. But a team like the Lions, that's going to be an indoor game in a dome. I think you pick Brock Purdy over Jared Goff in a dome. You pick the better quarterback in a dome, and Purdy is obviously at least a tier ahead of Jared Goff. That being said, you only do that if the 49ers are a comparable team to the Detroit Lions, efficiency-wise, and right now they're not. Right now the 49ers don't run the ball as well as Detroit, and they don't stop the run as well as Detroit. And that's a big problem when you're playing a team like the Lions that can run as well as the 49ers. So what you want to do is make this, a fair fight. The 49ers do have to play the Lions, do have to play the Commanders. Eventually, they do have to play the Bills on December 1st. That's in this regular season. You want to make sure it's a fair fight. You want to make sure that you're not having to rely on special teams or some other type of fluke to win the game. And that sets the table for the 49ers trade deadline. I wrote about the defense today up on the San Francisco Standard. You'll see it right here. Is this one of the best secondaries in football? I'll tell you, as a good secondary, but they've got some injuries. They've got guys that are really hobbled. The Jets, we watched today. DJ Reed, the 49ers' former cornerback, the fifth-round pick. But you know what? San Francisco's got DJ Reed 2.0 now on their team. Also drafted in the fifth round, essentially to be a replacement for DJ, Diamador Lenore, who might be having an all-pro season. That's what Fred Warner thinks. Lenore, though, I mean, he's played nearly 3x the snaps at nickel that he has at outside corner. Remember, the 49ers drafted DJ Reed back in, 2018? They wanted him to be an adaptable inside-outside player as well. He was the one that got away because the 49ers thought they can waive him with an injury designation back in 2020. But the Seahawks swooped him up. Then he helped beat the 49ers that year. That was tough. That's a personnel move that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both regret. Then he signed to the New York Jets for big money. Up until last week, DJ Reed was the highest graded cornerback in all of football. So the one who got away was the prototype for the one the 49ers actually have now in Diamador Lenore. That's not Lenore. I believe that's Malik Mustafa knocking the ball away from the tight end in the back of the end zone. That was a hell of a play. But Diamador Lenore has to be a cornerback, I believe the 49ers cannot let get away. moving forward. Going to be up for a new contract, eligible for one right now. That, you know, you look at him and you look at Charvarius Ward, both playing at a high level. Ward struggled through the first few games of the season, but has been a lot better over the past two. I mean, Ward, he has the all-pro cachet under his name. He's going to be worth a lot of money on the potentially open market for him this offseason. But I think that Lenoir very, very quickly is also establishing himself as somebody who's going to command big money. And it might come down to the 49ers having to pick between those two. Look at the coverage stats this year. This is on the Standard article. Lenoir has been the 49ers' best corner. Lenoir's doing what DJ Reed has been doing in New York, but now doing it for the 49ers. He's allowed a passer rating of only 63.4 into his coverage. And you know what? As Ward really knocks off the rust from the injuries, he's been dealing with a lot, obviously, the tragedy. His daughter, Amani Joy, passed away on Monday morning after the 49ers' most recent game. So Charvarius Ward is going to have to continue battling through some turmoil. What we've seen from him so far over the past 2 weeks has indicated that he's just as valuable to this team as anybody. I mean, even despite the fact that it's been a down year statistically for Charvarius Ward, and an 86.5 rating is good for a cornerback, that, you know, you want to keep it under 100. So he's kept it at 86.5, even despite the fact, though, that that's significantly worse than what Diamador Lenoir has allowed. Charvarius Ward has actually allowed a smaller amount of yards per cover snap than Diamador Lenoir. That means the teams are still avoiding throwing to Charvarius Ward's direction. Even the Jets that we watched tonight against the 49ers, they just threw the opposite way from Charvarius Ward. If you can have that type of corner on your team that dissuades teams from using a whole half or third of the field, it's going to make your other cornerbacks that much better because they have to cover a smaller swath of grass in comparison. So Ward, even in a down year, has been a big, big contributor to the 49ers secondary because he has affected opposing game plans. And the 49ers had been looking for balance at that cornerback position for years. Lenoir's emergence in 2022 down the stretch really, I think, was the first hint of it. He had a good season last year, and now Diamador Lenoir is playing as an all-pro. Fred Warner's talking him up. Wasn't that cool the other day? Fred Warner on his podcast talking up Diamador Lenoir, and he said, you know, veteran players who have gotten love already in the past, it's really important for them to pay it forward, use their platform, use their interviews to talk up some of the younger players. You know, Fred Warner benefited from that back in 2019 when Richard Sherman was on the team. I remember in press conferences as the 49ers racked up win after win after win, Richard Sherman would get up there and he would shout out to the guys who deserved it, who weren't household names at the time. So Fred Warner was All-Pro Fred. That's where All-Pro Fred was born. Richard Sherman called him All-Pro Fred in 2019, and he turned into an All-Pro. Now Fred Warner is calling Diamador Lenoir an All-Pro. If he keeps this up, maybe Diamador Lenoir will be able to take the honors that Charvarius Ward earned last year. Either way, you've got a really, really good 49ers secondary. I just showed you the numbers. Now I can show you the headline again. Is this one of the best secondaries in football? Now that you have Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa up on the screen, both contributing. I mean, let's go back to the stats really quickly. I thought that when I did my quarter season checkup on the 49ers, they were missing a little bit of juice at the safety position. That's down at the bottom third. They were giving up a little too much, like 0.6 to 0.8 yards per cover snap at safety between Jair Brown and George Odom. George Odom even higher than that. I mean, that's a really, really high figure for George Odom. So San Francisco has given up way too much per cover snap. And what happened is we've seen Talanoa Hufanga return, but then get hurt. So we've seen Malik Mustafa enter the lineup, and he's given up hardly nothing. He's given up 20 yards into his coverage on 173 snaps. That is a tiny number. Yes, the 49ers love that. Jair Brown's number has reduced by about half. He was giving up way more. He's at that 0.8 range, which was too high for a safety earlier on. Now, 295 snaps, 134 yards for Jair Brown. And the ratings that they've given up, those are both solid, especially Mustafa at 46.6. But when you start intercepting passes, that rating drops, and that's what you want. The darker colors are better on this chart. So both Mustafa and Brown, they've formed a nice 49ers safety duo. Now, if you need an upgrade in coverage, it's at that linebacker two position. Devondre Campbell's given up quite a bit, but Fred Warner hasn't. Speaking of all pro Fred, that should be happening again this season. Anyway, so I talk about the 49ers defense in this article up on the San Francisco Standard. I'm going to take a copy and paste here of the link. I'm going to send it to Mike. Hopefully he can put it into the description. There you go, Mike. My overarching thing, and here I have a team tier graph. This is a little different. This is DVOA, but the 49ers are in this cluster with defense adjusted value over average with some of the best teams in football. They're not far away from the Bills. They're not far away from the Lions. They're right there by the Chiefs. So you just need some marginal improvement. You need continued improvement over the season, and then you could realistically believe, if you're the 49ers, that you could take down any one of these top teams, especially if the return to health for San Francisco continues. So that was the main gist of what I was writing about. Then I zoomed in, and here's the DB chart that I just showed you. But I zoomed in on the DBs, and I zoomed in on the pass rush, which we can take a closer look at here. There's a lot of darker shaded color here, and darker shade means better score. These are pass rushing productivity percentiles for the 49ers. The defensive tackles are at the bottom. The defensive ends are up at the top. Look at all that darker brown. That's what the 49ers want color-wise here. They want guys near the 90th percentile. They have a few of them. So if you get to that darker color here on this chart, that means you're probably above the 80th percentile. 70th is good too. Malik Collins has been rushing the passer effectively. Javon Hargrave is unfortunately hurt, but they think they can get him back for the postseason. Kevin Givens has given the 49ers 11 pressures and 108 snaps, which is really good. Evan Anderson, that's 100 percentile stuff. 4 in 26 snaps. Hasn't gotten enough snaps for the sample to be appropriately big yet. But how about Sam Okwuanu? He's been a godsend for San Francisco. Nick Bosa, obviously, at the top of his game. Leonard Floyd's been above average. 53rd pass rushing percentile means he's better than 53% of edge rushers. So you've got a lot to work with here for the 49ers, but I think you could still get more. I think that's why we're talking about defensive linemen on the trade market. Edge rushers, defensive tackles alike, that's a position where there's a surplus of available players year in and year out, just the way that football's designed right now. And that means that you might be able to pick some guys up for very good prices. That's the most likely position at which the 49ers do make a trade, if they do make a trade here before the Tuesday, November 5th trade deadline. Anyway, those of you just joining, we watched the Jets save their season. Amazing catch by Garrett Wilson. Ugly game. I mean, it's Malachi Corley dropping that football really set the tone right before the goal line. Can't believe that still happens frequently in the NFL. But it, you know, all that just turned into an ability for us to, and a good opportunity for us to look at how these teams in the NFL are doing. And I think that the Jets are underperforming record-wise versus the efficiency they've shown. I think the 49ers also are underperforming record-wise versus the efficiency they've shown. The Texans might be overperforming record-wise when you see where they are, and you saw the Jets beat them tonight. But the exciting thing is that the back half of this season is going to show us who actually is who. The NFL has a great way of allowing the cream to rise to the top. And half of the season is not enough of a sample for the schedule to work its magic. But November is generally when you do start seeing the true movement. You start to see some of the teams that were languishing in the first half overtake those in front of them. And the 49ers are in second place in the NFC West, behind only a team that's been less efficient than them down here, the Arizona Cardinals. So it's going to be fascinating stuff moving forward. This is going to be our last show of October, by the way. very last show. It is Halloween. Hopefully everybody is enjoying their Halloween night. Mike, what's our viewership at right now? I've got almost 1,800 total, but on YouTube, I'm sure it's just a couple hundred. I'm sure that the holiday, well, maybe people are back from trick-or-treating, right? Maybe some people that are back from trick-or-treating want to watch. But we had to finish the month right, and I want to finish it good with the Q&A as well. So shoot over your questions, and we will go from there. While you are here, go to check out the article up on the San Francisco Standard. We delve deep into the stats behind the 49ers defense tomorrow. I'll put together the article on the 49ers offense, and then we'll head into the bye weekend. We'll enjoy some of these games and get ready for Christian McCaffrey's potential return to practice on Monday, Christian McCaffrey's potential return to game day action on Sunday in Tampa Bay, and obviously all of the game prep that the 49ers are going to do over the next week or so. Next Thursday, they're going to be in the midst of practice for Tampa Bay. And then we're going to have a meetup in Tampa Bay. Get ready for that. Those of you traveling to Tampa Saturday evening, we've got to get the date and the time squared up in all finality, but that's what we're going to be doing in Tampa Bay. Fan meetup there, and then the 49ers big game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That said, I'm ready to answer your questions here on this beautiful Thursday Halloween night. I am ready for everything that you guys can throw my way. I'm not going to necessarily put it up on the screen, but I'm happy to answer. Seth, for example, is asking offense or defense at the trade deadline. I think more likely defense. Wouldn't surprise me if they added a rotational wide receiver, but defense between defensive line and the surplus of players potentially available there. And the fact the 49ers might have a need at linebacker, although that's trickier to acquire, I think defense is more likely. Tommy asked exactly what I was just saying. Will they trade for a linebacker? Probably not, but maybe, right? I think defensive line remains the most likely position. I think trades in general are not all that likely. The right circumstances have to be at play. I think that this is a season where the 49ers are more likely than not to see the right circumstance in some deals because they're trying to get a little bit better to be in firm contention. And I think it's very clear where they do need to be a little bit better. I've showed you the defensive line. I could show it to you again. We've got the graphic up on the article, up on the San Francisco Standard. You've got a lot of brown here, which is good, but I think that you could definitely, I mean, it's Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, and then Sam Okwuanu is preventing things from falling off a cliff here. That's great. But if you didn't have Sam Okwuanu, where would you be at that edge rushing position? So more edge rushing depth can't help the 49ers. That's for absolute certain. I think more defensive tackle depth can absolutely help the 49ers because of the names here that are performing well. One won't be available until the postseason at the soonest. That's Javon Hargrave. Kevin Givens has been in and out of the lineup with a groin issue. So you've got Malik Collins, and then what? Evan Anderson, who's played 26 snaps. Yeah, they've been 26 good snaps. But Jordan Elliott's more of a run stopper. That's why he ranks in the second percentile in pass rushing productivity. I think if you're the 49ers, you can use more defensive linemen. That's why Brian says that he wants Dalvin Tomlinson playing for the Cleveland Browns. Now, Cleveland beat Baltimore last week, so that never helps the rally for a fire sale anywhere. I think that the Jets would have lost tonight. That we'd be asking questions about them going into fire sale mode at 2-7. But instead, they're 3-6, so they're still alive, especially if they can get to 4-6. You know, it's one game at a time, but if you can get to 4-6 as the Jets, then you're just a win away from 5-6, which is a win away from 500. I know it's a long road, but they're good enough to rip off a few straight victories, especially now with Davante Adams. Ian says another running back if McCaffrey doesn't return. Do you think that there's somebody better out there than Isaac Grendo? like that's available for trade? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think Grendo's been getting more and more comfortable. Here's the thing about McCaffrey, and I think he's returning, right? That's the plan. I think that they're going to want to load manage him in his return. And I think they're much better positioned to do so than last year. If you sub Jordan Mason in for Christian McCaffrey, the whole offensive approach changes. Mason is slower. He's more physical, right? He's a bruiser. And that's great. He's a great change of pace. But if you need more than a change of pace, if you need a plug-in while the scheme and the game plan are all geared toward McCaffrey, I think Isaac Grendo fits that role a lot better. They didn't have that type of player last year. Elijah Mitchell in and out of the lineup. Mitchell was the guy that ended up being the backup to McCaffrey in the NFC Championship game, and he scored the winning touchdown of the NFC Championship game. Good for Elijah, who's been dealing with all these injuries, but one of the injuries that he's had to deal with over the course of his career has made him ineligible to return this season. So the 49ers have needed another back, another body in that versatile role to be able to spell McCaffrey and not butcher the framework of the offense. And I think that's Isaac Grendo, much more likely that it's him than somebody like Jordan Mason. I think Mason's your change of pace, your closer when McCaffrey comes back, but Grendo is the number two to Christian McCaffrey as far as the skill set that he can bring so he can keep the line moving schematically. Mostert back for depth? No, I don't think so. I know that Miami, if they lose especially, I think it's Buffalo this week, right, for Miami. Could be fire sale mode in Miami. But I really think that they have a Raheem Mostert type in Isaac Grendo. And unless they can add pieces at extremely nominal costs, I don't see the 49ers going crazy on the trade market for a position like that. If something presents itself that can move the needle in a Hall of Fame-like way, like Christian McCaffrey in 2022 when he became available, yes, that's when the 49ers will move heaven and earth to try to get a running back. But I don't see anybody that would potentially be available this year for that kind of investment. CJ Stroud did miss some open passes tonight. See some of those comments in there. I thought that he's been very mediocre all year. Again, I've talked about the receiver issue. I don't think the 49ers go after a wide receiver one. I think they might go after somebody like Kendrick Bourne if the price is cheap and right, just to layer depth at that position with familiar faces, familiarity with the playbook. But as far as a wide receiver one goes, I don't think they need that. I think that they've got great talent in the pipeline. It was a promising starting debut for Ricky Pearsall. 49ers have to play the balance, right? You've got to keep the draft capital. You already lost a third-round comp pick for the accounting error, the salary cap accounting error. Remember when that happened around the time of the NFL owners' meetings? So you have to be very careful to maintain that draft capital. The success of this 2023 draft class underscores the importance of holding on to that draft capital. Look at all the contributions the 49ers are getting from Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, Malik Mustafa. You go up and down that list. It's been awesome. If you had decided to trade a third or fourth round pick last year for, you know, they did trade a third round comp pick, by the way, for Chase Young, but say that you traded it for somebody that did absolutely nothing. Chase Young contributed mildly to the 49ers. Well, you traded away potentially a chance to pick Malik Mustafa for nothing. Or even if the effect is marginal, even that Chase Young pick is something the 49ers, I'm sure, would have loved to have in NFL draft. They didn't. But anyway, they've got a lot of players this year that are already contributing with the picks that they did own, which underscores the importance of hitting on the draft picks and not being willy-nilly trading them away unless you're sure that you think that player can help you now. Ahead of the deadline. So is a trade likely from the 49ers? I would say probably yes. Is it certain? Hell no. So we'll see what they do. But wide receiver is a position where even if they do make a trade, I don't think it's going to be a huge swing. Ricardo asks, any chance we see Owens, Tariq Owens, get some playtime? I never expected it to happen this season. I know they love him. They stashed him on that practice squad. He was scout team player of the week the other week. But no, I wouldn't expect it to happen this season. So Tommy says that special teams is the only horrible thing for the 49ers. But as I wrote in my piece up on the Standard, the 49ers are coming off a game in which their special teams unit outdueled the Dallas Cowboys' number one ranked special teams. So Kyle Shanahan thinks it's going to get better as the season goes along. He thinks it already has gotten better. Thinks the 49ers have had a lot of injuries that have impacted the coverage units, which are always very neatly choreographed. The 49ers believe that more consistency roster-wise on special teams will allow for more really good performances like the one that we saw against the Dallas Cowboys this past Sunday. Mark asks, just curious, do the players train and take reps during a bye week or do they start next week? They don't practice as a team, but I'm sure guys are encouraged to stay in the weight room, stay in shape. Sure, guys, you know, Brock Purdy probably throwing a little bit over the bye week. I'm sure some guys are running routes. They will reconvene for a bonus practice Monday. I'm sure they'll start doing some game planning and installation for the Bucs if they can do that on Monday, but the main practice week starts on the standard time on Wednesday. Hopefully that answers your question. Xavier asks, what's your take on Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator? Do you think the defense is getting better or worse? Please explain that in detail. Well, the good news for you is that I wrote about that in detail right here. That's the article. This is the 49ers midterm marks on the defense. And I'll give you some facts about the 49ers defense. First of all, San Francisco's defense ranks number 12 in EPA per play, but they rank number 6 out of 32 teams. Number 6, if you measure by defense adjusted value over average, which takes into account the strength of the opposition. That's DVOA. Also in DVOA, the 49ers pass defense ranks number 2 in the entire league. Number 2. So they rank 2 in pass defense and number 19 in run defense DVOA. So they very clearly have one of the better secondaries in football. I posed the question in my defensive review article, is this one of the best secondaries in football? This is an evolving unit because they've recently inserted 2 rookies into the defensive backfield. The safety pictured there in Malik Mustafa and the cornerback, second round pick out of Florida State, Renardo Green. So I think when you're talking about this defense, there's a ceiling and they definitely have not yet reached it. Now, when you're playing young guys, there's a risk that you regress down to the floor as well. So there's a floor, there's where you currently are, and there's a ceiling. The 49ers are trying to get up to that ceiling this year. And I think that it's relatively high because of how good the secondary is. They ranked well in DVOA last year, and they ranked number 10 in EPA per play last year. The 49ers are number 12 in defensive EPA per play this year. That being said, they have half a season to turn on the Jets. And I remember in 2021, they had a first-year defensive coordinator, DeMeco Ryans, who just saw loss. His team lost to the Jets today. They had a first-year defensive coordinator in 2021 who struggled through the first half of the season. In fact, at this point of the 2021 season, the 49ers ranked number 23 defensively, EPA. This year, they ranked number 12. From this point on, moving forward in 2021, once DeMeco Ryans really started finding his stride as a new defensive coordinator, the 49ers ranked number 6 defensively in the NFL. So they went from number 23 to number 6. This year, they're at number 12. What are they going to be moving forward under the first-year coordinator, Nick Sorensen, as he develops more comfort? I think that it's realistic to think they could be 6, maybe even better, since they started at a higher spot this year, number 12 instead of number 23. So the question was, where exactly is the 49ers defense? The answer is they're improving. They are not a finished product yet. They gave up two massive plays late in that game against the Cowboys, which were inexcusable. And they still have a worse run defense than average, even though the pass defense with these young defensive backs taken over is borderline elite if they're not there yet. They're number two in the entire NFL. So if that defense continues evolving, the 49ers will be in a very good spot. All right, that's fun. We've talked about everything. We've talked about the New York Jets saving their season. Can they continue to save their season? Can they turn it around like the 49ers have in some years past? They have a worse record than the 49ers ever have in those years, 3-6 now for the Jets. We talked about how good the 49ers might be by looking at some team tiers. Here they are, San Francisco, basically in that second, third tier behind the Bills, the Lions, and the Commanders. Jets a lot better than I think a lot of people gave him credit for. Started the show that tonight. We saw some 49ers former players on the field. Solomon Thomas, Javon Kinlaw, and Isaiah Oliver. That's it. 40 minutes. Last show of October. So help boost us. Boost the algorithm heading into November. We're the leading 49ers channel. So, I mean, gosh, so many of you have been watching this week. I'm looking at a lot of the numbers in the videos, 30,000, 20,000, 30,000. That's how you know the 49ers are starting to play better football. That's how you know that the calendar is about to turn to November. I'll give you a stat. The 49ers are 500 in pre-buy football under Kyle Shanahan. They're exactly 500. 500 record, nothing worse, nothing less. After the bye, they are 30-8. So 15-15 before the bye, 30-8 over the years after the bye week. That's over the past three seasons, by the way, since that 2020 season that was ravaged by injuries. So 30-8, that's damn near an 800 winning percentage for the 49ers. So they are very, very good after the bye week. They are very, very good when the calendar turns from October to November. And the calendar is about to turn from October to November. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can go check out my Twitter and you could leave a comment because you're already in the comments zone. But if you're watching on Twitter, go to David Lombardi on YouTube. Click there, subscribe there, and you could leave your comments and you could leave your questions. I'll try to answer them on the next show. If you're watching on either of the two streams online, Twitter or YouTube, make sure to go check out the Lombardi Lounge podcast. And if you're listening on the Lombardi Lounge podcast, get to Twitter, get to YouTube, watch, and ask your questions. Final show of October in the books. Thanks for joining me this month. Happy Halloween to you. We will talk to you again in November.